happening in your world tonight.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. Round one of the PGA Championship, golf second major in full swing at Bethpage Black in New York, and defending champ and tourney favorite Brooks Koepka on fire today. He shot a course record 7-under-63 to take a big lead. Danny Lee is the closest golfer. He's three strokes back. Koepka started the tournament 11-1. Now live betting odds has him just plus 150. Tiger Woods nine shots off the pace after shooting plus two. Other notables, DJ even, and Rory is plus two. The Arizona Cardinals got their quarterback in the draft, but today they lost their starting cornerback for six games. Patrick Peterson has been suspended for the six games of the NFL season for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. The eight-time Pro Bowler dropped his appeal, and he's eligible to return to action October 20th against the New York Giants. First-time offenders of the league's PED policy usually get four games, but the NFL can enforce another two games if a diuretic or masking agent is detected along with the prohibited substance. Peterson threatened to trade earlier this year and also skipped Arizona's voluntary workouts in late April. Second-year corner Byron Murphy now will have a larger role, leaving David Amerson and Robert Alford as the Cards' top two guys. Kyle Rudolph wants to stay in Minnie, but the veteran tight end says he's not going to take a pay cut to stay. The 29-year-old tight end has been linked to rumors since the Vikings drafted tight end Irv Smith in the second round of the draft. Rudolph, who spent his entire eight-year career in Minnesota, had 64 receptions for 634 yards and four touchdowns last season. He's set to earn $7.275 million in base salary alone, and Minnesota already up against the salary cap, so his days there appear to be numbered. Afternoon baseball on the go. Let's go Rangers all over the Royals, 12-1, top of eight. The Nationals leading the Mets 4 were in the bottom of eight. Milwaukee now up on Philly, 9-3, bottom eight. Christian Yelich with his MLB-leading 17th home run for the Brew Crew. And Oakland hammering Detroit, 17-0. Woo! Bottom nine. Jurickson Profar with his first career grand slam for the A's. If you stacked A's in your DFS contest, you're probably going to cash in. Cha-ching. Let's take a look at the rest of the sked. 8-6-35. Baltimore and Cleveland, Tribe laying 300, total 9. Straley and Bauer. 6:40 baseball action. We got the Cubs and Reds. Reds minus 145, 8.5. Good battle here. Quintana and Castillo. 7:20. We got St. Louis and Atlanta. The Braves minus 115, over under 10. Wainwright versus Turan. 8:10. Toronto laying 30 cents at the Chicago White Sox. Total 9.5. Stroman versus Covey. A pair at 10:10. Minnesota, small favorites, minus 115 at Seattle. 9.5. Pineda versus Swanson dinner. And Pittsburgh at San Diego. Padres minus 125. Total 7.5. Williams versus Lauer. The Rockies have called up top prospect Brendan Rodgers for Friday night's game against Philadelphia. He's hitting 356 with 9 homers in 35 games in AAA Albuquerque in the PCL. Game 2 of the Western Final goes down in Oaktown tonight, 9 p.m. tip. Golden State, a 7-point favorite over Portland. Total 219.5. KD out. He will see doctors tomorrow. He might be able to suit up for Game 3 Saturday night in Portland. Toronto in Milwaukee Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Bucks -6.5, 216. Milwaukee up 1-0 in that series. Zion Williamson stepfathers says rumors about Zion returning to Duke are BS. Adding Williamson is looking forward to becoming the new face of the New Orleans Pelicans if they draft him first overall. Elimination game in the Stanley Cup playoff tonight. The Bruins can advance if they beat Carolina on the road. They're up 3-0 in the series. This game is a pick 'em 5.5. And another good move by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's go FanDuel. Refunding all St. Louis Blues moneyline tickets after a controversial overtime goal that was scored on a hand pass that gave San Jose a 5-4 win. All Blues moneyline bets refunded. Classy move by the book. Why have a bookie when you get customer service like that? They don't refund. Essa Lindell has signed a new six-year, $34.8 million contract with the Dallas Stars today. 24-year-old defenseman could have been a restricted free agent July 1st. And Canada beat France 5-2 to win their third straight game at the AAHF World Hockey Championships in Slovakia. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. Gam Blue back from his baseball trip, whale capper, and a whole lot of fun. It's Thursday. Red Heat and Rage Radio with Gabe and Cam coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game Time Decisions.
Radio has begun. I am Renzi throwing it down. As you can see, it's a very sunny day for those of you that are watching the video stream.
For those of you tuning in, we've got a sunny backdrop today as the PGA Championship goes down on Long Island right now. As we speak, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. What's going on, Cam?
Be honest with you, Marenzi. I'm having a shitty day to start things off. Some jackass woke me up, wanted to sell my place, a realtor. I got to get a sign. No solicitors. Please, no solicitors, no flyers come to the house. That was a bad way to wake up. I got knock, knock, knock on the door. I thought it was maybe my dad or something important. No, the guy's just looking for a bite on real estate. And that St. Louis game took a bite out of my bankroll. Raptors, I don't know. I got to be honest with you, Gabe. I'm not in a good mood today. I'm very angry.
Well, that's okay. You can vent your rage on the program today. Yeah. That's what we're here for.
I got sports rage today.
I'm surprised you didn't invite the realtor in to listen to his offer, to be honest.
Yeah, no, his offer sucks. Trust me, I already got a couple guys. Don't worry about it. He's not doing anything for me. I got a couple guys that I know who go the extra distance. I didn't trust his look either. He looked real scummy and slimy. You know, I got to be able to trust my realtor.
Cam on the rage. I'm going to make sure I keep the mics off, baby.
Yeah, you better watch out, Yang.
Yeah, good call. If I hear you during my update, I'm going to go ballistic this time.
I always tell people.
I'm joking.
I always tell people, Cam's not as jolly as he appears.
No, I'm not. I'm usually jolly. I'm just having a real bad day, Gabe. You know, I'm waking up with pains, knocks on the door, lost money. Just one of those days. Not, you know what I mean? It looks very sunny where you are, though. Very nice. Hey, I hope to see that condor. He always makes me happy.
You could be me and get like 82,000 jackass troll tweets every time the Raptors lose a basketball game.
That's an excellent point you bring up. Yeah, that's got to suck.
Which makes it great after I lost money on a game too, right? I got to go on Twitter and it's Raptors. It's like shut the F up. It was a rough night. It was frustrating. I actually escaped because of all the first quarter, first half stuff.
It worked out for you. I'm happy for you there. And it's really frustrating, though, Gabe. I've never seen a team shoots 25%. Not only do they win the game, they cover late. I don't understand how the hell they didn't win outright, not alone cover. And that just tells you if that's a start of things to come, like just brutal. Like I'm still flabbergasted at the way both of those events ended last night. The Raptors game and the hockey game, both not going my way.
The Raptors are in a little trouble.
They are. If Milwaukee Raptors shoots that bad and Brooke Lopez can do that, we got major problems, bro. I'll see you on Sunday.
You know, it's like whatever, man. Brooke Lopez, we'll shut him down. He's not going to do that again Friday. But then Chris Middleton's going to go off. Like it's basically like whack-a-mole. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you can't blame Kyle Lowry.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't blame Kyle Lowry, and everybody wants to blame him all the time. I thought he played a good game.
I'll tell you.
When you're dominating a game like that for three quarters and lose outright and not even cover, Gabe, that's the problem. Like, it's still like, wow, how do you not even lose by six? You lose by eight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. I know. We'll get into it. It was angering, but the only thing I'll hang my hat on is that the Raptors always lose game one of series, and everyone's always panicking. Yeah. Well, they do. They're 3-15. It's 3-15 right now, but I figured you'd be pretty angry about the National Hockey League, and I actually talked about this on Get Off My Lawn this morning. We'll give you the floor.
Getting ridiculous.
It really is. Like it's
ridiculous.
You know, you're
like,
telling
I'm
me
so
it's not reviewable.
Right,
like I said today, Cam. Yeah. So whatever. If I'm skating down the ice and I pull out a 22 and I shoot the goalie in the ankle and I put the puck in the net, is that reviewable? It's not in a rule book. It's not reviewable.
Exactly.
What do you mean it's not reviewable? You can't, like, what are we doing?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
We appreciate you joining us. We got a pretty busy show today. Cam Blue will join us from Arizona a little bit later on. We'll talk some NHL hockey. We'll talk UFC. I believe they're in Rochester, New York this weekend. So we'll break it down with LouGamblou.com. Marco D'Angelo is in Las Vegas, Nevada, and one of the sharper horse cappers out there. It's Preakness week. We were over at the Meadowlands earlier in the day. They were setting up their Preakness tents outside. It's pretty cool. They actually put they put tellers, betting windows in the parking lot for people that can't get in time. You know, there's lineups and stuff. So if you're pulling into the parking lot, it's like outside in the parking lot. Like they have sort of a canopy and it's like bet here. It's a good idea, right? They know, all right, bettors, they're getting there late. Whale capper can appreciate that. Whale capper and Zion Williamson say, you going back to Duke? Hell no.
Hell no. He knows. Hell no. This big, I mean, it's like a $25 million decision probably. He would be leaving $25 million conservatively on the table. If he deferred a year of NBA service at this point. And, you know, I got some hot takes on this, to be honest with you. There's been a lot of hand-wringing about, like, oh, you know, the Pelicans didn't deserve him. You know, he should have gone to, a market like New York, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's tough when...
Let me put my hand up, Will Capper. I just wanted to say that over here, I was the first one. That was my hot take the morning after. It's a pile of crap.
Well, okay. Look, if you're a Knicks fan, if you're a New Yorker, or if you were deprived of having Zion Williamson for your team or in your market, then by all means, you can be salty. Because the Pelicans certainly did not cover themselves in glory with the way that they played out this season. And to get rewarded like this is kind of weird. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I don't think this was fixed. I get it that the two the two least valuable franchises, the two smallest markets in all of the NBA ended up with the two biggest stars. And, you know, to a degree, you know, that definitely helps the bottom line for some of these teams, especially a team like the Pelicans, who probably are trying to get sold and trying to get moved. I don't know exactly where their destination is, but I do think that there was kind of a behind, backroom sort of handshake with the, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's not crazy. There was a backroom handshake when the Bensons bought the Pelicans, when they took took that problem off the hands of the NBA, back when Tom Benson was alive. I think they pretty much had a handshake. Hey, look, like, hold this for 10 years, you'll make a couple $100 million between, the value of the franchise as it is now. And when, we'll find a buyer for you in 10 years. And I think that will probably come due here in the near future. With an owner that's willing to spend more money and in a bigger market, the Pelicans and Zion Williamson is probably going to be a force in this league for foreseeable future.
Randall's a good player. Yeah, he's sort of like Zion in a sense, but Randall's a very good player. Holiday's a good player. Yep. One thing I want to say, too, about the Benson, that's what I thought of. And, this is a story that Kyle Turley told me, and he was on the Saints, okay? So, basically, Benson, after Hurricane Katrina, if you remember, guys, he always wanted to move the team to San Antonio.
Yep.
Always,
And I hate to say this, but Mr. New Orleans, because right now people there are going to be like, F you, they're going to hate me forever and stuff, but Drew Brees wants to move to San Antonio. He's from Texas, guys. And after Hurricane Katrina, Tom Benson actually went up to everybody, like the team was there, and he told them, listen, we're out of here. And he said, we all know that I've been wanting to go to San Antonio, and we're freaking done. And not to be morbid, but he was almost happy. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, we're done. Like, he goes, we can't stay here. Sort of with a smile. And he told the Saint players, look for houses type thing. It's done.
Yeah.
We're staying in San Antonio. The National Football League got wind of it and said, are you nuts?
Breaks.
And they were like, are you crazy? Like, I'm like, basically after this, like, you can't do that. And same thing. I think they paid him, Whale Capper. He's a hustler.
I do too.
I think they actually said, we're going to renovate the stadium, just whatever, calm down,
Absolutely.
And makes sense. Yeah. And then they had that magical Monday nighter, and, you know, and the poor guy's paralyzed now, and
Gleason,
they win the game. Drew Brees could run for governor of Louisiana and win. And Mr. Tom Benson saves New Orleans, and what a story with the Saints. And, oh, if it's not for the Saints, what they would have done. Those son of a bitches would have left if they could have, Will Kepper.
Like, people are like, it's just, truth on all this.
Yeah, it's like basically, I know, and Turley always told it like it is. And Turley told me Benson's the, he, you know, I hate to say it. I don't like speak in front of people, but he said it. He said he's a jerk.
Yeah, right, right.
Basically said, Benson,
I think you got it right. He was a hustler. He knew how to game the system to get the most money out of the NFL for a franchise that was in a place that had a relatively hard cap in terms of how much money you can make. New Orleans is not a very big city. It's not a very wealthy city. You're not going to
It's not like LA, It's not like LA where you are right now, where personal seat license, a new stadium, are like, you know, $335,000. $335,000 gets you same tickets for life. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep.
Yeah, for real, for real. Yeah.
And same as Memphis, as you brought up, bro. Courtside tickets for a Memphis Grizzlies game are like $92. Courtside tickets to a Raptor game is $2,300.
And guys, you know Gabe, Atlanta, too. Atlanta has more money than New Orleans. And look at the value menu and cheap stuff that they have for part of the community there at a Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The $5 menu, all that other stuff. Hell, Atlanta's got more money than New Orleans does, and Atlanta's going on the cheap. So, no, you're making a lot of sense right now. I agree 100% of what you're saying. I think that guy's a slick talking jack, and he's like a used car salesman. Like he don't let him fool you. He's got a plan.
And if you look at the course of Anthony Davis's career in New Orleans, and really my opinion about why he pulled the plug on them this year, I mean, he obviously did it in a very calculated way. And it was all about kind of the player and the agent having the power to determine
it
his
destination. It was LeBron
destination.
And the Rich, what's the guy?
Rich Paul, his agent. That whole community of players and agents were flexing their power, and the league doesn't like it. You know, they squashed that, and they are probably going to try to, you know, kind of surreptitiously make sure that that deal does not get done this offseason as punishment, because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to cede that much power to agents and players in terms of where they go and who they play for. And, you know, it's weird to, it, you know, and but at the same time, he had reasonable reason to want to leave New Orleans, Anthony Davis, in my opinion. And it was the Bensons, you know, Tom Benson passed away a couple of years ago. You know, Gail Benson is his widow, and she, you know, controls decisions on the team. But the family itself, they are not going to spend into the luxury tax. They are not going to go 1 cent beyond what they have to in terms of their, you know, they have a pretty, you know, tight operating revenue because of the fact that you can't sell luxury box tickets at the Smoothie Center in New Orleans to corporations. You can't really, you know, you're not making big time merchandising deals. They don't care as much about the basketball team anyway as they do about the Saints. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like this redheaded stepchild, you know, in the family, and they don't want to spend any more money than they have to. And so they were never really going to put enough pieces around Anthony Davis to make them a true title contender. As good as he is, and as good as Drew Holiday is, and as good as, you know, as good as Randall played this season, you know, all those are pluses, but they were never going to be good enough, never going to be deep enough. And so he pulled the ripcord, and, you know, I can't blame him, and I won't be surprised if they don't get a deal, they don't move the team, if the same thing goes down with Williamson in 5 years.
All right, Will Kepper, hang in there. Will Kepper has got to go in a couple of minutes, but we'll take a quick break. We'll get his pick for tonight's Warriors Blazers game, and we'll get him going out of here. Game time is soon.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You think that you're the king of
Guy Moretti, the Major Redhead Cam Store. Whale Capper with us for a couple of more moments. Got to get out of here in a couple minutes. So, so much stuff to talk about in the NBA. So much, you know, wheeling and dealing and this team. And we didn't even bring up the LA Lakers, bro, who have the fourth pick overall, yeah, which isn't quite as sexy as the top three. But by the time the draft comes here, that fourth pick will look pretty good. It's sort of like last call. Everybody starts to look better as good the night point. Goes on. And then you know, Jared Culver won't look too bad suddenly by the time the draft comes with the fourth pick. But yeah, it won't be with the Lakers. LeBron doesn't want young guys, so the Lakers are going to be wheeling and dealing. It's going to be really crazy over the next couple of weeks in the association. But I know you got to get out of here earlier than usual, Capper. So what do you make about tonight's game with Portland and Golden State game two tonight?
So game one was interesting in that it kind of played out like it went as expected script-wise. Portland looked tired. They obviously went way deeper in their series, and game sevens take a lot out of players, and they came out looking pretty sloppy. A lot more turnovers than we're used to seeing out of the Blazers. Pretty poor shooting out of their key guards. And you know, I would expect a lot of those things are fixable. The thing that you can't really fix, the general kind of defensive philosophy that Stotts runs, where he lets his big men sag, and they were given free looks to Curry and Klay Thompson, that's a not fixable problem. I don't know how you make adjustments on that, since that's kind of your underlying, you know, pillar of defense, which does not match up well against the Warriors offensively. So I'm expecting a higher scoring game tonight than we saw in game one. I won't be surprised at all to see this thing go over the total. As far as the side, I like the Trailblazers to keep this close, especially in the first half. And in fact, I could see a scenario where, you know, the Warriors kind of feel like, oh, this series is ours. This has gentleman's sweep written all over it, right? And you know, they're not going to be playing with urgency out of the gate. You know, they're going to be like, oh, we're going to get ours when we want it. So you know, we can kind of, you know, save up a little bit of our reserves for the finals. Like that's the kind of mentality I would expect out of this Warriors team, who's a little lackadaisical at times when they're playing teams that are well below them, like we saw during that Clippers series. So I think that the Trailblazers make a decent play tonight. I especially like them in the first half. That's probably where I'm going to go heaviest with my action is Portland plus four in the first half. And
I play Portland
first half money line. You're with me?
Yeah, I played Portland first half. I played.
All right.
I have Portland Trailblazers first quarter money line plus 176.
There we go. Nice.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
And I hit that last night with the Raptors plus 164 first half money line. And I got Portland Trailblazers plus 4.5. And then I expect Curry and Thompson to turn it on with 7 or 8 minutes left. And I was going to take the Blazers. And I thought to myself, Cam, no way I'm getting screwed and watching them win by 9 tonight again.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened.
Not like last night. Yeah. Not again.
I can't take it anymore, Whale Capper. Like, we've been on the bad. Me and Morenci have been on the bad end of these, like, 1-point losses. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like the hockey game, like my heart can't take this shit anymore. So I'm thinking, I might just ride out the first half, and I'd rather, you know, go guns a-blazing. They either cover in the first quarter, in the first half. I don't want to deal with this whole game because come the fourth quarter, you know, it's hijinks. But I think the line is telling you, for a team that won by 22 points and I'm seeing 7, I thought the line would be probably 8, 8.5. I think it's kind of, it seems like a mini bait line to try to get more Golden State action. I thought they'd be favored by about 8.5 or 9 after game one. So we're all in on Portland, with Capper.
Let's do it.
Okay, like it.
We're there.
All right, guys. Best of luck tonight.
You joining us.
Let's go, Portland, and let's go Raptors. Let's get back in the series. I like the Raptors tomorrow night. Let's get a Raptors win in game two.
That would be great.
If they lose tomorrow, don't worry. They'll win both at home. This series is going to be a long one. They're not done yet, dude. They're 3-15 all time in game one, a playoff series. This isn't a new script we're getting here.
I like it. Well, I still feel like the Raptors are the better team in this series. So let's get it.
Let's do it, Whale Capper. Thank you.
Right, have a good one, buddy.
Peace. Whale Capper. Find him on Twitter, whale_cap. Joining us from, I don't know, man. Like,
well, yeah, somewhere. What's he doing? Is he working on the Quakes today? Sounds like it was pretty windy there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounded like there's something going on. Yeah, Morenci, just for this whole, to your point about this shit, and the thing that's why I'm really frustrated is because I thought, you know, when we talk about the big sports, that hockey was one of those ones because people cared about it the least. It would be on the up and up. I'm seeing more crap in this year's playoffs and more rigged or teams wanting things to happen than I've ever seen before. San Jose has got the benefit of three huge calls. The first series against Vegas, that Vegas should have won that game. Colorado got screwed, and the Blues last night on an obvious hand pass. It's obvious. It's quite certain that the league wants Joe Thornton to go up against his former team. It's been that way from the get-go. It's getting ridiculous. I don't want to be that guy to bitch about the rest, but it's out of control now. That was a screw job to the nth degree. We've been watching this game for a long time. It was so obvious. Like, it was sickening. When they didn't reverse it, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone, bro. I'm like, this is not happening. But you know what? I've begun to expect these things now. And Rod Brind'Amour brought up a good point. We don't need more refs on the ice. We need less. The game's getting fast, and they're always in the way. They're the puck's hitting these guys all the time. They're always in the way. Guys are trying to set things up on the power play. Ref gets caught up. I know they're quick guys. There's not enough room out there for all these people. Get them off. Rod Brind'Amour says, put one guy in the friggin' penalty box, you know, have his skates on or whatever, and give more space to the other people. It's nuts. I'm watching these games. They get in the way all the time. They're not doing their damn job.
Not a bad idea, actually, to look at things moving forward, in which, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can have four of these clowns on the ice and not one of them sees.
It's too many guys.
That's eight eyes. You know what I'm saying? You got four guys, you got eight eyes, and not one of them can see a guy swat at the freaking puck.
I know.
And then after they stand around, well, you know, and then they realize it's not reviewable. And how the hell, like, does it even need to be reviewable? Like, it's one of those things that goes without saying.
Common sense. Exactly.
Like, yes, exactly. Like, basically, Cam, what happens when you see a hand pass? Normally, they blow the whistle.
You blow the whistle.
It's not a penalty. It's you know what it is? It's like a football in basketball. You know, someone passes it and, you know, some jackass will stick his foot out.
Yep. Kickball.
Yeah, it's like, dude.
Blow it.
You know what you're doing there, but it's like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. It's like, you're not fooling anybody by throwing the puck, bro. Blow it dead. You know, you don't get a penalty, but blow it dead. You know, but if you do it in the crease, you get a penalty, obviously. But if you touch a puck with your hand in the crease, but it was freaking obvious. Like, there's four of you. And you know what? The referees, Cam, when they were standing there together, bro, they should have said to each other, listen, this isn't reviewable, so... Let's just say it's no goal.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing they can do. There's nothing San Jose could have done. They couldn't have challenged. It's not reviewable. Yeah. They could have just said, no, it's not a goal.
Nah. And pass.
And remember, Cam, earlier in the playoffs, I remember I was like, wow. I didn't even have the team. It was the Washington Capitals against the Carolina Hurricanes. Ovechkin put it in the net. Scored. It was a massive goal. It would have changed the series and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And the referee said we were going to blow the whistle, but we never did, so it's no goal.
Exactly. The intent, like, to blow the whistle.
God.
I know.
They played crap. God and said, yeah, we never blew the whistle, but we wanted to blow the whistle. So all they could have said is after, they could have went up to the bench and said, listen, you know what? It's not reviewable. I didn't see it, but Johnny did, and we're playing on. Shut the F up, and we're dropping the puck.
Exactly.
You know it's not a goal. It's not a goal. And Carlson didn't even celebrate right away, Cam.
I know he did.
When he scored, he sort of looked around like he was guilty.
Like, are we going to get away with
this? Let me get off the ice. And then he was like, let's just go. And they skated off the ice.
I know.
He didn't even celebrate because he knew.
I'm going to tell you, Morency, and another
bush league,
thing.
That's bush some garbage ass league. Not the stuff. Hey, that wouldn't even happen in a Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
It's not even about my bets or whatever. It's about the Blues. They dominated the damn game. They shouldn't have let the goal happen late. That's their fault, but they got screwed, and they're on home ice. This is the thing about San Jose. I don't know when they become God's team because they're getting calls and calls and calls. Hell, their run should have been over against Vegas on a play that was a phantom call, and they score three damn goals on a power play? Like, where did the San Jose Sharks all of a sudden become, you know, America's team when it comes to hockey? You know what I mean? Because what? Because they got stars on their team? They got stars?
The ratings are better for the St. Louis Blues. So that's what I don't understand.
I know that.
But,
I'm
just saying, for the hockey market, I looked at the ratings. So I don't get it, but I can't dispute it. The San Jose Sharks, and you know what it is, Cam? I've been convinced of this for freaking years, bro. And you're right. We're right. The Sharks are winning the Stanley Cup. Like, I'm telling you. They're going to beat Boston. They're going to screw Boston. They're going to call Boston for this stuff. They're going to give San Jose. Chapman loves the West Coast, bro. Look at Vegas and, like, the expansion draft they got. Well, they changed the rules for
the
Arizona. Don't worry. We'll give you money. We'll save you.
I know.
The Ducks. When they, I remember the L.A. Kings when they won. They got every freaking call.
Kings.
Chapman thinks it's good for the West Coast to win, bro. And St. Louis, you guys are screwed. You're screwed. You're not going to be able to get past this.
You said it. The only team Bettman hates in the West is the Vancouver Canucks because they're in Canada. And he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Let's call it out for what it is. Let's call it out for what it is.
Wait until Seattle comes in the league. I'll bet on Seattle for the first 20 games, man. You'll see. They'll have the softest schedule. They'll have like 12 home games out of 14.
You're right. They're going to be Seahawks too for me. They're going to be a team that wins, and I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be on the right side.
What are they called? The Seattle Seven? What they come up with?
They're called the Sockeyes.
Seattle.
Don't you like Seattle Sockeyes? What about Emeralds?
What is their stupid name anyways?
I think that's going to be, I think it's between Totems, Emeralds, and
Totem.
I said Sockeyes. That's a great name with a fish. Sockeye Salmon. Seattle Sockeyes. It rolls off the tongue.
Seattle Sockeyes.
Sounds
and
good.
The Sockeyes ice the puck. It does the Sockeyes.
It's okay.
I just think of
Emerald. I like Emerald.
Hey, Emerald's the way to go.
It's the winner. This NHL playoff has been an absolute joke. The NHL should be ashamed of the mistakes.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Auto Parts.
Gabe, I got a read for you. And I noticed that Cardano's really sticking it a fork in us. It's all about the Raptors and their problems. Listen to this one. The Raptors was at 3 full minutes without scoring in the fourth quarter last night. Did you see that coming? Did you get in on the easy money? But I'll tell you one thing. This is a great promo. Points back.
This is unbelievable. I just knocked over a can of Pringles. They fled everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not having a very good day either. Yeah, well, I'll tell you. This will change your day. Open up an account with pointsbetsports.com, a wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID. You'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000. I hope employees can join because I need a new sports book. In addition to a traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet by. For example, if you bet the Giants in football -3 and they win by 10 and cover the spread by 7, you'll receive 7 times your stake. Now, I can deal with that, Gabe. That's good stake. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000 today. I'm going to talk to the boss because I need a new accountant. I'll give FanDuel a lot of credit. They actually refunded St. Louis Blues bets. I'm going to text my book today and say if they've lost a customer. I really like the way these guys are going out and doing things right now. They really know how to grease the skids. I like it.
So what, you're gonna complain to your book that they didn't pay you for losing the game last night?
Yeah, I'm just going to write them a quick letter, say, you know, all these other books are paying out. You didn't. I think I'm going to take my services to FanDuel. What are you going to do about it? All they have to say is goodbye. I really don't care, and I'll still do golf futures with them. But you know what? I deal on 2 books. None of them refunded my money last night. I could have saved myself hundreds of dollars. So why would I? This is another thing
about
these
guys. I don't want to be that guy, but you can only bet FanDuel in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, I can't? So I can't get an account? Oh, no. God. No. Oh, that sucks. Really?
Oh.
Man, this day's just getting worse. I tell you, I was really looking forward to that because it sounds like a nice promo.
You already know that. I know. Like, people can't bet
in New York. I
thought I
could get it online.
Bet in New York, how the hell are you going to bet in Ontario?
I was thinking about finding a way, but...
good point, right?
It's not happening. Maybe you could be my inputter. You get it? I'm just saying, Gabe, I got the Blues last night, and people are if I was there, I'm getting my tickets refunded. That's a bit. I have these guys in the series. I have a lot of things, right? Plus 240. Like, there's a lot of things going on here. This is not a one-time thing, and that's good customer service. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is I want to be treated like a customer. And you, how are the Pringles? You okay? Or
oh, they're all over the floor, man.
I'll tell you what. Off the floor. I eat them off the floor.
No. I'll tell you what right now. I plan on eating these.
Of course you do. I eat things off the floor all the time.
Yeah, it's a hardwood floor.
Chips fall? Eat them.
Yeah, I'd move the camera over. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't even touch them. I'm sitting here, and I just see them tip over. And I'm like, God, that's great. And of course, like the idiot that I am, I don't have the lid on, of course, right?
Of course you don't have the lid.
And I'm thinking, well, maybe it won't land and they'll all fall out. But of course, boom, and they all went.
I'm going to tell the truth on the show. I dropped a piece of cheese on my floor last night and ate it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even a chip. Like, it's a straight up piece of cheese and I ate it. I know most people wouldn't have done it, but I do it because you know what? I really don't care.
It's not the street. It's your own floor.
That's the thing. I'm not going to say it's clean, though. 5-second rule? It's more like a 2-day rule in my place. If it's there, I find it. Oh,
what kind of piece? Like, explain the piece of cheese.
It was a slice of cheddar. It was a thick piece of cheddar.
It was like American cheese, like just that bad Kraft type stuff.
No. Not Velveeta or Kraft singles. It was a piece of real damn cheese. I sawed it off in a block to nibble on. It hit the floor. Probably has a little bit of dust on it. I eat it. Who cares? It's cheese.
Oh, there was dust. Huh? Yeah.
I actually dropped some Lucky Charms on the floor the other day. I ate them, too. I really don't care. That's what it's come down to. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, I hit the box and they all came out. I just piled them back up, put them in the bowl. Well, I got a little bit of dirt on them. Who cares?
You know, it's funny. I just saw an article the other day, actually, and it said an interview with a man who has a fetish. Like, he's not – it's like a disorder. Like, he's not poor or homeless or something, but he eats people's leftover food in restaurants off the plate.
Well,
like
that's
he gets a kick and a sexual rush or something about like walking past, like after someone gets up after IHOP, like he'll walk past and scoop up the pancake.
It's actually true. I'm not that bad, but I will tell you this. I worked at the Keg Steakhouse and the dishwasher slash prep guy. He used to do that all the time. He was a weirdo. Right. Like, he makes me look. He used to eat off people's plates. Like, you'd come in with half a piece of steak.
What was left over?
He wouldn't even know. He wouldn't even cut around the bite mark. Like, he'd get right in there. I'm like, wow. Even I can't do that. Like, if I know you and you left me pizza, the bite, I'd eat it. You know, girlfriend, sure. People I know. But I'm talking, this guy, strangers. You don't know if they got diseases. They could have something, cankers in their mouth. And the guy's just wolfing down steak when it, like, craziness, man. Like, I got to draw the line somewhere. I'll eat stuff off the floor. I'm not eating strangers' food, though. I got to pump the brakes there, Gabe. That's where I draw the line.
You ever seen the episode of Seinfeld when George ate the chocolate eclair that was on top of the garbage?
Oh, yeah. I got no problem with that. I've done that before. I shouldn't admit these things on the show, but since we're going to be real, it's Get Real Thursdays today. Yeah, I've done that before. I've eaten food that had, like, a paper plate, like, between it, not hitting other garbage. I've done it before. It's not something I'm proud of, but I've done it.
Yeah. I actually drew a line the other day. How about this?
That Twix episode was on last night, Gabe.
I needed ketchup, all right?
Yes. Yep.
I had no ketchup. Fries were dry, man.
Yeah.
And I knew there was ketchup in one of the garbage bags that I had here, all right?
But a full pack, but it's in the garbage, right?
Yeah, sealed. Exactly. It's full pack. It's like full pack.
It's sealed. Yeah, no problem.
It's sealed.
I don't have a problem with that.
It was too garbagey, Cam. Like, I'm not going to lie. I actually fished it out. This isn't the one, but I fished it out. Smelled like, it was like.
That's different.
Like, yeah, you know.
If new and you just put a fresh bag in, I don't have a problem. But if you're, like, dishing out roaches and noodles and it's at the bottom of, like, a real, real, like, it's like a trash dump. No, you can't do that. Like, even I won't do that. But if it's a packet at the bottom in a fresh bag, I have no problem with that. No problem with it.
Andy in our chat is talking about there's a dude out there that has a fetish that he eats hair out of people's bathtubs. Dear God.
Oh, God. I wish he'd come over, man. My drains are clogged. I just bought some liquid plumber.
You wish he'd come over.
Yeah, you want to eat some hair out of my drains? God, my girlfriend comes over. My drain's like, Gabe, I was having a shower the other day, but the water's up to my almost my kneecap. I'm like, God, now I got to get Drano? Great.
Dude,
what else?
That happened to me with my ex-girlfriend, too, and she get mad. I said, we got a little problem in the bathtub here.
Yeah.
She's like, exactly. What? And I said, I was taking a shower, and it's like up to my knees all the time.
Exactly.
And she goes, so why are you telling me? And I said, well, between the two of us here, it's not my hair in the bathtub, is it?
Excellent.
She's like, yeah. How do you know? And she's like, it could be you.
Yeah,
I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, it's me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Tully Savalas.
She could never admit she was wrong, that girl.
Yeah, I know. I hate that stuff, too. My girlfriend, it's weirder, man. Like, she does it kind of subtly, like, but I just notice when she comes over a lot, my drains are never the same. Like, always got to do some work on them. You know, the shower, it's starting to rise on your foot. And those, the proper cleansers, Gabe, you can't buy the $199 stuff. When you get, like, drain cleaners, you need, like, the name brands or else it won't work. So, you know, just another expense. Bad drain.
Here it is. An interview with a man who eats leftover food from strangers' plates in restaurants.
Awesome.
Alex is a 43-year-old San Franciscan who works in the financial sector. He eagerly eats uneaten and untouched leftover food off of plates if he spots it out. Even if it's off a stranger's plate. Wow. I was told by a friend that you enjoy eating leftover food at restaurants that hasn't been cleared off the tables yet. Is this true? It's not necessarily about hunger. Have you ever heard of the Swan Oyster Depot? No, I haven't. It's an old school lunch counter where you can get fresh fish the same way for like 80 years. So I met this girl and took her to this place, and we were sitting there waiting for like 30 minutes to get in. They seated people ahead of us who had ordered sashimi. What the hell that is?
It's raw sashimi. Yeah.
All right. I don't eat raw fish. They'd eaten some of it. Left a bunch of it out. We were kind of hungry in the morning. It was just going to be thrown out. So I didn't ask anything. I just went up and grabbed it, popped it in my mouth. I said to the girl, do you want one? She goes, no, that's somebody else's food. I said, yeah, but they never touched it. It's still perfectly good. And we're going to end up ordering the same thing. It's not a bowl of yogurt. It's just a piece of fish. So you know what? I don't think this guy has some sort of fetish. I think he's just cheap.
I agree, Gabe. Excellent point. And I would do the exact same thing. If you left me a piece of salmon on a plate and I know you didn't touch it, of course I'm going to eat it. Why wouldn't I? You know, people might think I'm crazy, but you know what? I got to tell the truth. I would do it. Hell, man, you should have seen when I worked in restaurants.
Says he's never got sick.
Yeah, he's lucky. He's playing with fire, though. Like, yeah, you might get sick one of those times. You don't know. Like, say you leave out something like mayo and it's hot, like, and something touches it. Like, you got to be careful where condiments are involved, too, right? Things with eggs, milk. Yeah, you're playing with fire. Raw fish, too. Very lucky. Raw fish, you get
this guy's
very
talking
sick
about
on.
Eating. This guy's talking about eating leftover guacamole and stuff. Here, God.
See, that's disgusting. Even I don't do that. That's a condiment. Come on, man. Upgrade. You can't be eating leftover condiments. That's a sickness. If you give me a leftover steak, though, or lobster, yeah, I'm into that. No problem.
What about, do you have... You have real cutlery at home, I assume, right?
Of course.
You have, like,
yes,
real forks
yes.
And everything?
Yes, I do, Gabe. I do have real cutlery. I do have plastic cutlery from Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I tend to use, when I have time, the good cutlery.
So did you buy it, or, like, your mother give it to you or something?
I actually bought it at one of those sales where they have, like, their big boxes. You get, like, 10 knives, 10 spoons, whatever. I got like a knife set and cutlery for like 30, 40 bucks. It was like a wholesaler. Yeah, I got my own cutlery.
Okay, so, all right, I'm impressed. For the record, yeah, I only have plastic. I got a box of plastic forks, but.
Well, you're not really entertaining, so that's another thing. Like,
what
if a
about,
chick comes over, you should get some cutlery.
Or some condom.
yes, condoms over cutlery. CC.
Yeah. I'm not cooking.
That's
I'm not cooking.
Right. You're ordering in. Can I get a box
all right,
of
let me ask
with
you
your Uber driver? Yes.
But you eat a lot. You're at home a lot and stuff. But
yeah.
Let me ask you, do you buy ketchup? Let people in the chat, too, are on Twitter right now. You're tuning in out there.
Yeah. Well,
Like, I'll be honest. I've only bought, like, maybe two bottles of ketchup in, like, the last 15 years. Like, it's pathetic as a grown man, but I've always just sort of.
I don't have a problem with it. Yeah.
Grabbed a few on the way out of Harvey's or McDonald's.
That's fine. I buy ketchup. Salt, I do.
Salt, pepper,
salt,
ketchup, not something. Like, I don't think I've ever bought pepper in my life.
I buy pepper on the routine. I buy a lot of it. I get it at the dollar store because my doctor told me to put pepper in everything. You get big ones for $2 now. Gabe, the only time I do buy ketchup when it's on sale, usually when they have the big bottles for like $2, I'll invest. But you're right. I still have packets lying around. Hot sauce is something. That's the one condiment I love. If I like when I get extra hot sauces, I don't like to buy hot sauces in store. I like to just because I only use them sparingly. But ketchup, I use a lot. Salt, I use to cook with. So I need backup for that. But I have a big bag of hot sauces, soy sauce and stuff like that.
We should know. Cam's like, no, I don't do that. But we should know. Cam refuses to pay for any sort of sauce with a piece of pizza, though, right?
Yeah, I got a real problem with the grocery store, too. When I go in there, this is another thing somebody's busted my balls about. So I go into the Metro and I spend $100, yet you're not going to give me a Renee's dressing? I got to pay 99 cents for my Caesar salad dressing, too? Get bent. Part of the deal. You get the whole box from the company anyway. That's stuff that they should be throwing in for free, especially when I'm spending that kind of money.
I used to work at a radio station. I will admit it. I didn't buy toilet paper for 3 years when I was there.
I got no problem with that, Gabe. No problem with that. That's a good
Savvy. Yeah. We'll hit this on the other side.
I don't like to buy toilet paper.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Right, we got Lou Gambling to join us at the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get to some UFC as the UFC just comes at us fast and furious on a weekly basis. Like I said, I believe they're in Rochester this week. Kevin Lee versus Rafael Dos Anjos, Aspen Ladd, and it's a card that you would expect it would be in Rochester, New York, to be honest. Just we'll put it that way. We'll spend a little more time on hockey with Lou today. Cam, when I was at the Team 990, it was Chum radio station.
Yep.
It was in a really upscale neighborhood, all right? It was like in West Mount. It was like a rich part of town. I don't know why poor radio stations are always in like really expensive buildings.
Good point. Excellent point.
You ever noticed the rich radio stations are always in warehouses somewhere?
I know.
It's always the vice versa.
It's weird. Yeah, great point.
We had the worst ratings in the city, but we were in the nicest area. So it's a really nice building and stuff. And, I was kind of broke. And quite frankly, I didn't think they were paying me enough.
Yeah.
So anything I could get my hands on. Like I said, I used to sell expo tickets. I could only get a dollar a ticket for them. But, bro, if you have 75 of them or 50 of them, and I'd sell them to a scalper, sometimes I'd sell a ticket for 50 cents, but I'd have 50 of them. Like, one of the sales lady was cool. I got along with her, so she told me, she goes, anything in my drawer after 4 o'clock is yours.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I used to scoop, and sometimes there'd be, 100 tickets. You know what I'm saying? And then I'd be like, whatever, I'm broke. I'll sell them for 50 cents each. I get 50 bucks. Yeah, this is, 15 years ago, too, right? So... But there was toilet paper in the bathroom at the studio and
3-ply, the good stuff.
The good stuff, the fancy
nice
stuff,
and soft. Yeah.
So I was in a bathroom once, and the janitor guy totally came in and sees me putting them in a bag, and I was like, oh, and he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, I charge this station $3 a freaking roll. He goes, keep taking them. And then he drops 12 of them in my bag. He goes, here's some more.
The custodian's in on it. I love it.
Yeah, and then I like when he goes, I charge him $2.99 a roll. He starts laughing.
I like that guy.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Y Sportsnet and at FNTSY Radio.
And now I'm tweeting about you, bruh.
I got great news, guys.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
News.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dan Stewart, your Fantasy Sports Network news update. If you like MLB overs, you hit the jackpot this afternoon. All four games going over the number. Here are the finals. Washington held on to beat the New York Mets 7-6. Sean Doolittle was save number 7 for the Nats. Christian Yelich on fire. He hit a pair of home runs today, including his MLB-leading 19th. He had a pair. Milwaukee spanking Philly 11-3. And Zach Davies is now 5-0 on the season. Good for him. Jurickson Profar hit his first career grand slam. Oakland pummeling Detroit 17-3. Wow, crazy finals today. And Texas all over Kansas City, 16-1. The final. Rangers hit 5 dingers in that romp. Round 1 of the PGA Championship underway from Bethpage in New York. Good conditions today. Course playing tough, but there is some sun out there. And defending champ and tourney favorite Brooks Koepka on fire. A course record 7-under-63. He's in early. Danny Lee, the closest golfer to him right now, he's 3 shots off the pace. Koepka was 11-1 to start the tournament. Now live odds plus 150. Tiger Woods, he's 9 shots off the pace. DJ, he's even par right now, and Rory McIlroy struggling, 2 over par. The Arizona Cardinals got a quarterback in the draft, but they lost their cornerback for 6 games today. Patrick Peterson has been suspended for the first 6 games of the NFL season for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. The 8-time Pro Bowler dropped his appeal, and he is eligible to return October 20th against the New York Giants. First-time offenders of the league's PED policy usually get 4 games, but the NFL can also enforce another 2 if a diuretic or masking agent is detected along with the prohibited substance. Peterson, not very happy this year, threatened to trade earlier, missed voluntary workouts in April. So now second-year corner Byron Murphy will have a larger role. David Emerson and Robert Alford are the cornerbacks for the Cardinals as well. They're going to be very busy. Kyle Rudolph wants to stay in mini, but no pay cut, and he says he's not going to take one. The 29-year-old has been linked to trade rumors since the Vikings drafted tight end Irv Smith in round 2 of the draft. Rudolph has spent his entire 8-year career with the Vikes. He had 64 catches for 634 yards and 4 touchdowns last season, but he's set to earn $7.275 million. Minnesota up against the cap already. So now we got some other stuff going on tonight. The rest of the baseball schedule, let's go. 2 games before 7 o'clock. Baltimore and Cleveland. Tribe laying 300, total 9. Straley and Bauer. 640 baseball action tonight. We got the Cubs and Reds. Reds minus 145. Quintana versus Castillo. Over under 8.5. 2 good pitchers. 720. We got St. Louis and Atlanta. The Braves minus 115. Over under 10. Wainwright and Turan. 810. Blue Jays minus 130 at the White Sox. Over under 9.5. Stroman and Covey. 2 games at 10-10. Minnesota, $1.15 at Seattle, 9.5. Pineda and Swanson dinners take the mound. And Pittsburgh is at San Diego. Padres minus 125, over under 7.5. Williams and Lauer. Rockies calling up their top prospect, Brendan Rodgers. Today he's on fire. 9 home runs in 35 games in Albuquerque, hitting .356. Game 2 of the Western Final tonight. Golden State minus 7, total 219.5. KD out. Might be playing game 3 in Portland Saturday night. Bucks and Milwaukee set for tomorrow, 8:30. Milwaukee up 1-0 in that series. Zion's Williamson's stepfather says rumor about his stepson there returning to Duke, BS. Adding Williamson is looking forward to being the new face of the New Orleans Pelican franchise if he gets drafted first overall. And we have a Game 5 elimination game in the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. The Boston Bruins advance if they beat Carolina. Try to bust out the brooms right now. This game's a pick 'em. 5.5 is your total. And FanDuel, as we mentioned, refunding all St. Louis Blues moneyline tickets last night after San Jose won the game on a controversial overtime goal on a hand pass, taking a 2-1 series lead. Bad, bad loss for the Blues. Esa Lindell has signed a $34.8 million contract, a new 6-year deal with the Dallas Stars, and the Preakness posts are set. Mike Smith, friend of the program, on Improbable, the current favorites at plus 200. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Hour 2 Red Heat and Rage. Our good friend Gamblu's back from the ballpark. He'll join us to talk NHL and mixed martial arts, so stay tuned. Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage. coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, level two. Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Cam Blue's going to step up and in. We'll talk about tonight's hockey game. Boston Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes. We've got NBA basketball tonight. The Portland Trailblazers try to even the series, although they're probably not going to. And, you know, they're only getting 7 points. We'll break down how we attack that tonight. We got Major League Baseball, and I was actually looking at the Toronto Blue Jays, and I was at the book earlier, Cam, and I was going to play the Toronto Blue Jays, and I didn't. I got caught up. I played a bunch of basketball, and I was going to play the baseball game, but I wanted to check something on my phone about the pitching matchup. And then after, I got caught up in basketball props again. And on the way out in my Uber, the baseball, my Uber driver asked me what I bet on. And then that's when I hit me. I was like, son of a bitch. I almost told him to turn around. I actually do like the Jays tonight against your Chicago White Sox, but it's never like the Jays are a lock or anything.
Yeah, no, and I worry, Gabe, too. Stroman was a lot better at the start of the year. He's kind of come back down to earth. He's not been pitching as well. So I actually, I'm not going to put the Jays on my card. Last night, baseball is actually funny. I lost money because my huge games were the Raptors and St. Louis. Yet we went 3-0 in baseball last night. I'm looking at the board. I know this won't be a popular play, but I think the Cincinnati Reds, have you seen the numbers their pitchers throwing out tonight? Castillo is one of the best in the business. I understand the Cubs are playing pretty well. Cincinnati beat them last night. It's about $1.40. This guy has been money in the bank. I might actually be taking the Reds, my other kind of a closet team. You're right. The White Sox and Reds are teams I support. Real losers.
And we'll break down the Preakness as well with Marco D'Angelo. The Preakness has sort of snuck up on us. So we talked about it earlier. The talk about, and listen, I don't think anyone actually ever freaking believed that Zion Williamson was going back to Duke. This is just the media being stupid. Speaking of being stupid, Adrian Peterson, with the Arizona Cardinals was controversial, and the Arizona Cardinals, of course, have been through a lot with the Josh Rosen, with Kyler Murray, and then you had Patrick Peterson mouthing off. Like, it's hard to keep up with the drama. Like, it's amazing how bad football teams can sort of repeat things, right?
They do.
Like, the Jets can't stay out of their way. The Arizona Cardinals, like, you know, the Cardinals should be like, hey, we got a new quarterback. There's a new regime gone. Everything's good. They hire a coach last year. They fire the coach. They draft a quarterback. They dump the quarterback. They bring in a new quarterback. Patrick Peterson's bitching, walks out, says blah, blah, blah. And now we find out the guy is suspended for the first six games of the year.
That's right. It was going to be 4, Gabe, in the update, just to mention, because of the masking agents, 6 games. He's eligible to come back for the Giants way into the season. You talk about it, and I'll tell you, I don't like this Cliff Kingsbury stuff. This guy, remember, oh, we're going to have a cell phone break in a meeting and stuff like that. Get real. Are you kidding me? These are grown men. You're already letting the inmates run the asylum. I just don't think it's going to be a good move, even with Kyler Murray. I think that team's got a lot of problems, Morency. And the coach, he doesn't seem like the type of guy to put his foot down. He seems a little bit too lax.
Yeah, you know what, though? This is good for the Kyler Murray prop. They're going to be out there because they're going to be playing from behind all the time. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
Very true.
All right, we'll get into the PGA as well as, I don't know, Cam. Brooks Koepka is just going to win this thing, isn't he?
Well, his odds are +150 live now from 11-1. You tell me. Danny Lee's one off the pace now, going low. But Brooks Koepka, he's a front runner. And he's a horse that can go wire to wire. He doesn't fold.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Decision. Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. A lot of stuff going on. We just talked about it. Patrick Peterson suspended for 6 games. Arizona Cardinal defensive back. The fun and games has begun. The Cleveland Browns starting to get concerned that Odell Beckham hasn't been around at all. The New York Jets, of course, are a circus. It's amazing how, like I said earlier, bad teams and bad organizations seem to repeat themselves. Let's bring in Lou right now. Lou, gamblu.com. What's up, Lou?
Not too much, Gabriel. Hope you and Cam are having a great day, and I'm looking forward to piping in a little bit today.
Well, we appreciate your positivity.
We missed you yesterday, Lou. We missed you.
Yeah, so did you enjoy yourself at the baseball game?
Always do. Had a couple margaritas, sauntered into the baseball park, watched a little baseball. The Diamondbacks had a nice little win. You know, I get there late about the second inning, and I leave about the fifth inning. But it's a great afternoon. We always have fun.
See, you're there for 4 innings. I thought you left in the seventh or eighth.
Yeah, no, he's even first 5 bet. Lou's gone. He gone.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of an afternoon excuse for us to have a few margaritas and go to the ballpark and laugh it up a little bit. And then we're out of there. I'm out of there, you know, like I say, fifth and a half, sixth inning. I haven't seen an eighth inning in a Diamondback Day baseball game ever.
What? Yeah, Lou likes to bet the first 5 innings and get the hell out of there.
Exactly.
Welcome to the wild, wild west, man.
Is the stadium right downtown? Like, is it? Do you get there quickly?
Very quickly. From my house, it's literally like 5 miles straight down one road right from my house. There's a little Mexican restaurant that my buddy owns that's about a block away from the stadium, and I call the guy. They save me a parking spot. Me and my buddies meet there, have a few belts. Because in the ballpark, it's like a $14 beer. So we get tuned up over at the teepee, and then we walk to the park and have a bag of peanuts and maybe one beer. But most of our drinking is done before then because it's just I'm not going to get my lips ripped off by those people.
Yeah, veteran move, Lou. Veteran move. You always got to pregame it before. Gabe knows, too. Right, Gabe? When we went to those Blue Jay games, the way I could literally drop out like $300 and not even get drunk. Beers are $15, $20. Like, are you kidding me? It's a joke.
It is ridiculous. The price.
It's a ball. It's a ball game. It's not like it's a. That's another thing. Like ball game, they got to reduce the prices on that stuff. And you talked about it, Morenci. Like they have like dollar dog night, but exactly what you said. I had a buddy who went, couldn't get the dollar dogs because there's about a lineup of 150 people there, right? So it's just a nightmare. Like a baseball compared to other sports should be real cheap. You should be able to walk in with $50 and you know. Get a glow on. That's just my take.
Yeah, I remember the old days. I used to go to expo games. So this would be in what years would this be? Probably about 1994, 1995 type era. But I remember the beers were $2. It was $2 for a Labatt 50 at an expo game. Because I remember. Yeah, I remember if you had like $25, you were good. $25, $30. That was basically, and we used to drink 2 beers an inning. Imagine, like literally, like a beer like in the bottom and then a beer in the top. So it'd be about, and often we wouldn't make it all the way through. You're usually hammered by about the 6th, 7th inning at that point in time. But honestly, I remember like going. I was like, all right, I only need like $20, $30. You know, and I'd get you kind of get drunk at a baseball game. Now you can't park at a baseball or a stadium for it's like Yankee Stadium, $65 to park. $65. The Sky Dome's not much cheaper, Cam. I see people downtown with their signs and stuff in Toronto. I remember last summer I'd walk past. I was like, holy shit, they're charging $50 to park here. And it's like five blocks away from the Rogers Center.
Yeah, it's brutal, Gabe. Yeah, and there's a couple other lots that are like a little bit cheesier. And the thing about it is there's like a code and sometimes the guy's gone and I've seen instances where like the car, you know what I mean? The guy goes away for a while. Your car's locked in there. It might be $20. You might not get it for like 2 hours after the game. No, it's a gong show down there. Like if I'm going, like That's why I don't go to many ball games anymore. And it's just the price of beer and stuff. We've got to do it lose way. You go to the restaurant with your buddies, you get lit up, buy some peanuts, and that's the only way to get it done. There's no excuse to be dropping hundreds of dollars at a baseball game.
Well, let's just be real. The way we do it, we get lit up before the game and then drop the hundreds of dollars in the stadium or arena after.
Correct, Dave.
Anyway, correct. So we just do both.
Yes,
all right. Okay, Lou. The Boston Bruins, man, these guys are just they're steamrolling through the playoffs right now. Seven-game battle with the Toronto Maple Leafs that really could have went either way. And now here we are. Boston's one win away from being in the Stanley Cup Finals again. The question is, do they get the win this evening? I say, yes, they do. Yet teams from Boston, I don't have a good track record. You know, I hate betting on it. You know, and before the series started, guys, I thought it was free money this. I really did. Boston minus 162, I saw it. If I would have known it was going to be this fast, I would have bet it. But I was like, Carolina's not beating Boston. I don't like the Boston Bruins, but, you know, I just didn't want to bet on it because, like I stated, the New England Patriots have screwed me in the Super Contest before, too. I hold a grudge against all their teams, monetarily, yes, spiritually, and everything else in between. But
amen.
I'll throw it to you first, Lou. I think Boston closes it out tonight. What do you think?
I honestly believe that Boston will clearly win this series. Is it tonight or is it the next time they play? I have an inkling that it's absolutely in their best interest to keep playing hockey. What happened to the Islanders when they swept and had a bunch of time off? They came out stale and got smoked. What happened to Carolina when they swept a team? They came out and still can't get their skates out of them, underneath them. In my opinion, the worst thing Boston could do is close this thing out tonight and go into a week's rest while the other two teams compete. It's the only way I see Boston losing. I think Carolina's got some pride. I know Boston will try and close them out. I'm scared to death of Tuukka Rask. This is a no play for me. I have no opinion on this game, but if you had a gun to my head, Gabriel, to answer your question, I say it's Carolina tonight. And I think the Bruins halfway know that, and I just don't see the effort to close them out. I think that I know it's dangerous to wait and go home and do it, but the only time a team has looked great and then failed to show up the next series is when they've swept. I don't think Boston wants to win tonight. I don't mean it like that. I don't think it's in their best interest to win tonight.
It's an excellent point you bring up about the rest. It's actually killing teams. And Gabe, kind of like the Houston Rockets, the Utah Jazz in that series against the Rockets. Like, I'm looking for that for Carolina. And let's remember, last game, Carolina, I've never seen a team dominate. Tuukka Rask, that's the problem. You said it, Lou. They could have been up 4-5-0. It was 0-0. I've never seen a goalie make tough, insane, acrobatic saves that he did on open nets, diving across, everything. They threw the kitchen sink at this guy. I worry a little bit about their will, Gabe. But to Lou's point, I believe Carolina, pride. You know what happened with the fans this year, the bunch of jerks, all the other stuff. I think they want to give their fans something. We're going to win. And if we lose, we go back to Boston. I'm making Carolina a play tonight. I think the Bruins close at the next game at home. Carolina wins tonight, Marinci. It's probably going to be a big play, but hell, I was on the Blues last night, and look what happened in the overtime. So, but I really like Carolina tonight. If Rask is human, the Canes win.
I think what Lou stated is true. I think that it does hurt teams a little bit when they're off, but not for long. You know, you saw last night, the Milwaukee Bucks were a little rusty for the first half because they hadn't played in 10 days or whatever it was. And then boom, you know, it came back to them. So I'm not going to argue your take, Lou, but I believe the Boston Bruins do want to close it out. Even if it's, you know, they'll think it's crazy talk. They'll be like, no, we want to get some rest. You know, we've been through a grind. We can prepare. We can get healthier and get ready for the Stanley Cup final. It's sort of like having a bye week for the Super Bowl, so to speak. But you're right. It could hurt them, though. You're right. But I think they do have the killer instinct.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Lou from Gamblu.com with us. You can follow him on Twitter at TheGamblu. I am Arendsi, the Rage Arena Cam Stewart. Quickly before we move on to St. Louis and San Jose and then some UFC, Lou, talking about tonight if the Boston Bruins can close this out. Some pretty incredible run that they've been on since winning that Game 7 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Boston Bruins' six-game playoff win streak is as long as since 1978. Incidentally, when they lost to the Montreal Canadiens, the third longest in franchise history. So it's been quite a run here, and it's been led by the power play, guys. The Boston Bruins power play is 5-for-12 in the series.
Amazing.
5-for-12 in the series.
That's so nuts.
when you're hitting nearly 50% of the power plays, you know, it's, you know, you're rolling along. Like 5-on-5, they don't really score much. They are a very, you know, you don't really think of the Bruins as some sort of special teams killer, but they have been in the playoffs. They're 5-for-12 in this series. The entire postseason have been killing it. And conversely, all you need to know, guys, the Carolina Hurricanes, 1-for-12 in the series on the power. 5-for-50 overall in the playoffs. Carolina's power play has let them down in the postseason.
Special teams are a huge component of playoff hockey. Carolina,
I think,
really,
it's the biggest thing, Lou, in the playoffs. It really is.
It's a big thing. I mean, Carolina came into the playoffs with an 82% penalty kill and only 17.8 power play. Boston came into the playoffs 80% penalty kill and 25.9 on the power play. And in the playoffs, Boston's 28.6 going into this series. So the complete potency of the Boston penalty power play, coupled with Tuukka Rask and the defense they're playing from the goal out, makes this team the clear chalk for the Stanley Cup. There's no question in my mind.
I think San Jose beats them. They've got to get there first, but I think San Jose beats them, and
they'll be 140. They'll be -140 to -150 favorite over San Jose.
And Cam believes the league wants the Sharks to get there.
It feels that way.
Yeah, the NHL seems to want the Sharks to get there because of the Thornton thing. And quite honestly, Gabriel, what I'll say is, I hope if Boston sweeps, I can assure you I'm going to be on whichever West team is going to be there because I'm not certain it's going to be the Sharks. But I do like the West against Boston. Boston's had a pretty favorable run. Toronto, even though it took them seven games, they don't play any defense and really weren't a huge threat, although it was a seven-game series. And the Islanders short on experience. Boston, you know, slapped them, second round Boston opponent was Columbus, excuse me. And they were short on experience, even though Gritty, the goaltender, let them down. And now they get Carolina. Listen, if they get the grizzled old San Jose Sharks or the desperate St. Louis Blues, I think they're going to have a much more competitive match on their hands, and I will like the West and agree with you, Gabriel.
Yeah, to me, it's just that San Jose, they have the size. And you mentioned the teams. Look, Boston beat Toronto, finesse team. You know, it wasn't really a physical series, and they match up extremely well with them. Columbus just seemed to hit a wall, and they were just happy that they actually won a freaking playoff series before that. San Jose, and now into this series with Carolina, who really aren't a physical hockey team. Me and Cam were talking about it yesterday. The San Jose Sharks are a very big team, right? Yeah. They're a physical team. you know, the Sharks have, like, Burns and Carlson, Cam, are better than anything that the Bruins have played against in the Eastern Conference so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, but I will say one thing, especially offensively. That's the thing. When you have Burns and Carlson and the things they can do, they can score, they can set up goals. But defensively, Carlson has become a real detriment defensively. Burns, on the other hand, is the big guy who can take a lot of bodies down. That's the issue that I have with San Jose, Gabe. And I know they're up 2-1 in that series in the Blue against the Blues. I'm not going to give them that series yet. I think St. Louis outplayed them for most of the part of the game. They got a little bit unlucky at the end of the game. I still think they can go on the road. They've proven they've won a game in San Jose. I think it goes the distance, and I still think the Blues can get there to meet Boston in the final. But I'm not shutting the door on the Blues yet, even though it was a heartbreaking loss and the refs did them no favors the last game.
The FanDuel. Yeah,
excuse me, Gabriel, if I could just jump in on the Raging Redhead there. I absolutely agree with everything he said. There's a lot to be taken there, but more importantly, I still don't believe Martin Jones. He looked shaky in that Blues game, and yeah, they won that overtime game, but St. Louis isn't done yet. And believe me, in my opinion, St. Louis is the much stouter, more difficult matchup for the Bruins because they both play defense first than San Jose. I think San Jose at any time can just collapse because of Martin Jones. Now, if Martin Jones continues to play like he has the last 2.5 series, then they could get it done. But I don't trust him. And I do trust Binnington, and I surely trust Rask.
Well, Rask, yeah, I'll disagree.
Rask is the
I'll
best.
I'll disagree here. Rask is the best one. I'm not going to disagree. I'm not saying Martin Jones is great, but I've been hearing everyone's talk for the last 3 weeks. I don't trust Martin Jones. Well, the San Jose Sharks are 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup. So whether people trust him or not, the Sharks trust him, and they keep on winning games. And there's been a lot of goalies. This whole, you know, it's not like the old days, really. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of sort of not great goalies that have won Stanley Cups over the years. Is Corey Crawford a great goalie with the Chicago Blackhawks?
He's good.
He's all right.
He's not great.
He's good.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's the team. I hear what you're saying, Lou. Like, Rask would be the better goalie. And I can't bet on unders. And Martin Jones is shaky. But the fact is, they're winning despite that. Right? They're winning despite it. Here they are right now.
Eventually, the lack of goaltender will catch up to you, and I respect your opinion to disagree.
But you just said, Lou, you said if he keeps playing like he has the last 2.5 series, yeah, they've been playing for 2.5 series.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I don't think he can. I don't think he can. And in the last game, Gabriel, he played poorly. He had 2 goals that were really, really soft over that left glove hand. And quite honestly, I think the guy's ready to crack, and I think he's going to crack. That's my opinion. Time will tell if it's well or not. But to me, it's suicide going into a major hockey playoff 7-game series with a goaltender. I know the Sharks trust him, but half of that is vocabulary. He is the shaky. He's the only question mark on that team.
And then, but the problem,
I don't think he'll ever crack. I don't think he'll crack. But he is who he is. There'll be some.
He is. He'll let in soft goals.
Yeah, there'll be a
they
soft
score
goal.
Goals.
Make great saves.
Score goals.
I hear Couture's what you're saying.
An animal. That's the thing. Logan Couture is taking this team on his back, Morenci. He looks so damn good. And I'll tell you another thing, Binnington is a good goalie, but he's not the same. If you looked at the goals that the Sharks score, they were all little flips from the blue line, deflected in. They were crazy, cheap goals. He didn't. And the thing is, it's not all his fault there because they weren't in position, but it's kind of rattled his cage. Like, he made some crazy saves against Dallas, and now the chink in his armor. I still think he's a much better goalie than Martin Jones, but San Jose has confidence too, and they've been scoring goals, Gabe, from crazy angles on him. That's the thing. And that's what I don't understand. Just throw pucks
tired
at the net because good things are going to happen. Yeah, it feels that way. He's had a huge workload. And remember, they were the best team in the second half, and he played all those games because they didn't trust Jake Allen. Remember? Jake Allen, when he was the Blues goalie, man, they were bad. Then they put in Binnington. He's played a lot of hockey for a young guy. Still better than Jones, but he's getting tired.
Yeah, Jones Jones played 61 of 82 games this year with an 8.96 save percentage and a 2.95 goals against. You don't change stripes after 861 games, gentlemen. Regression's going to hit. Jones is going to be the chink, and that's my prediction. St. Louis moves on to play the Bruins.
Yeah, I need it. I got series bets on them, and last night did not help.
Let's not forget St. Louis has won 6 of 8 games on the road in the playoffs, gentlemen.
That's true. They're a good road team.
Well, There's big swing after with the numbers after a game. And you know that the Blues aren't done. I don't think they think they're done. And they have been successful on the road without a doubt. But you know that the Blues have problems when now they're saying that they think that the league wants San Jose to move forward. It's in their head. And
I didn't hear them say that. I didn't even hear them address a hand pass. In fact, Berube and the whole team, and I'm watching NHL Now right now, the whole team is tight-lipped. They won't even go there. They're not talking about it. They've not made any
excuse. They talked about it after the game, Lou, last night.
But you know what happened, Lou?
No, they didn't. They avoided it. I've been watching all the interviews.
Yes, you're right. You're right. The players in Berube didn't, but the general manager of the team apparently, and that's fact, smashed on the referee's door and said, horse shit. Like, he went wild. I think it was Armstrong. The Blues GM, not the coach. Berube didn't say anything, but at the end of the game, he, like, rattled the referee's door, and he was absolutely raging, which I would have been, too, because it was ridiculous. But, yeah, Berube's been tight-lipped.
And the coach, he said, so they asked, what did you think? And then the coach, Berube, said back to the guy in the media, what did you think?
You think.
Was it a hand pass?
I like that.
And to me, I thought it was a hand pass. So he said, then why are you asking me?
Just give me the question.
Yeah, he goes, then why are you asking me?
Old school hockey. They're not there to make excuses. This is a man's game. There's no political correctness in hockey. It's all about being a man and playing with passion. St. Louis is going to bite down on that mouthpiece. And that next game, I think you're going to get a pretty strong, concerted effort by the St. Louis Blues.
Hope so, Lou.
We'll be back on the other side with Lou from GamBlue.com.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Stella went 4 for 5, matching his 11th home run last night. If you weren't using the DailyRoto.com MLB Fantasy Optimizer, you might have not had him on your DFS roster. Swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto Lineup Optimizer winner to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or countless number of people that have won thousands. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's a 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today.
Good stuff, Cam. Good stuff. So we're talking about the controversial goal last night. In which, FanDuel's paying people. And it was a smart move by them to pay people.
I like
FanDuel.
They're
getting all kinds of positive publicity out of it.
I want to get my refund.
All the mainstream sports books or all the mainstream websites are talking about their sports book now and about how they refunded people. But as you mentioned, Doug Armstrong tried to get into the referee's room after.
Correct.
And he was banging on the door. He said, this is effing garbage. Can't go what he said. BS, blah, blah, blah. Shen smashed his stick on the glass right beside the referee. it was pretty cool, actually. I think he scared the hell out of the ref. Binnington chased the referees in the hallway after, but they ran away from him. so I'm just stating, Lou, it's not like the Blues didn't complain, bro. they tried to storm the referee's room. Here's Alex Pietrangelo in a room after saying it's clear that there's a set of rules for them and a set of rules for us.
Yeah.
And I can't find a quote. He went on here to say it's like 5 minutes in the room. It was right after the game. And he kept saying, I'm not going to say anything more about this. And then he'd say something. He'd say, I'm not going to say anything more about it.
That's true.
But you're right. Berube shut up. He did. But it's not like the Blues are like they're furious, Lou. Like they really feel like they got freaking screwed.
Yeah, and that's correct. However, you stick a microphone in front of somebody in puck passion in a Wales or Campbell final that ends that way, and yes, in the short term, you are going to get raw emotion. However, once the team and the club meets with their coach behind closed doors, you know this, stop it, Gunner, that team gets together, they get together and decide, we're not going to talk about this. We're going to take all this frustration and pain, and we're going to channel it into our next game. And that's been the plan since. Of course they're pissed. Of course they want revenge. But there's nothing they can do about it now. And if anything, they should take solace in the fact that they still got a few games to get something done with this, as opposed to Vegas, who I think was done even worse than the Blues in the call that happened to them. So I agree with you, Gabe. It means a lot to them, but they're not letting on. And they're men, and they're going to go out and take care of their business tomorrow night.
And here it is here now, even the CBC. It's an article that just popped up. San Jose Sharks and Zebras, the NHL's kingdom of unintentional best friends.
That's great.
As they go on, like, it's basically it's a joke.
Yeah,
Sharks break number one with Vegas up 3-0 and 10 minutes and 47 seconds remaining in game 7. Sharks forward Joe Pavelski was cross-checked off a face-off by Cody Eakin. Then they got tangled up with the Knights' Paul Stastny before hitting his head on the ice. Pavelski left the game with a concussion. Eakin was assessed a major penalty. The Sharks turned a 5-minute power play into a 4-goal explosion, outlasting and eliminating Vegas 5-4. In overtime. Sharks break number two. Midway through the second period of game 7, the Avalanche scored a pair of goals to tie the game 2-2. San Jose coach Pete DeBoer challenged the goal, claiming the Avs were offside. Colorado forward Gabriel Landeskog was skating to the bench during a line change, with Colorado at 5 after active skaters on the ice. But Landeskog's skates were still on the ice. It appeared to be offside before his team tied it. The goal was eventually disallowed. San Jose wins 3-2 and advances to the next round. Last night, I don't think the refs are telling. I don't think NHL's telling the refs before the game, make sure San Jose wins. But it seems to be happening like time and time again where they're getting the call.
True. Yes.
Yeah. If I may say, item one in Vegas, clearly a missed call and a terrible infraction. Item two in Colorado, take it out of the article, take it out of the discussion. It was offsides, no issue. Sweep that one away. Item number three, which is really item number two because it's the second legitimate bad call, was last night's call. But at least St. Louis has a potential of 4 more games to try and get it corrected. All in all, guys, and all three of us will agree, this time of year, there's passion in the air for their hockey teams. And I just can't be happier that we're having this kind of dialogue. Yeah, some of it's bad with the refereeing, but for hockey to be front and center with a new market like Vegas adding all kinds of fuel and passion and gasoline to the fire, I'm one hockey handicapper that's happy as he could be.
I think it's a disgrace to the sport, personally. just them. And I'm not just going to single out the NHL. The NBA should be embarrassed. The NBA is just, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters.
It is.
You know, it's like whatever team they want, whatever star they want. You know, the other team doesn't matter. They could use an effing ladder. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It just doesn't matter. The NFL, the playoffs were like just a circus.
Horrible.
And, you know, the referees need to be more accountable. This little the next day all the time. Well, yeah, we admit we screwed up. And, we know you screwed up. But Kay Whitmore, former goalie, he's like the NHL crony now, the mouthpiece. They said, well, what do you think? Was it a hand pass? He said, it's not reviewable. And the reporter said, I asked you if it was a hand pass or not.
Exactly.
He said, read between the lines. It's not reviewable. And then the reporter asked again, so what's your official comment on this, since you're the rules guy here? And he basically stated, it's not reviewable. That was their only thing. So basically the NHL is admitting, yeah, we screwed you. You know what I mean? You're right. It shouldn't happen at that level, Lou, in overtime when there's four referees on it.
It shouldn't.
And I have San Jose winning the series. I have the Sharks winning the series, but it's not right.
You think this is the first time in the history of the Stanley Cup since 1897 that something like this has happened? Do you think it's ever happened in baseball in the past 50 years or in football? Of course, bad calls are part of the game. Human,
human element
is bad. Is it terrible? Yes. But you got to move on. You paint the white F next to the game. You record your result, and you turn the page, and you go to the next game. Series is 2-1. We got
to
move on.
You need to correct it.
The thing is, this is the problem, Lou, and I know this is going to happen. A hand pass, and me and Gabe have been playing hockey since we were babies. It's one of the most obvious things. How is a hand pass not reviewable? Everything should be reviewable.
Listen. The rules are the rules. They can't change. The rules. That's what they're saying. They can't change the rules right now. To me, the bigger error is how do four freaking referees miss a hand pass when everybody's in the whole stadium's looking at the puck? They're the only four guys of 100 million people that watched it that were in the stadium and on TV that missed it. And yeah, it's bad, but what are you going to do? I'm outraged. Okay, be outraged, but there's another gamble. You're going to let this one affect that? You got to turn the page.
What I would do personally is these referees wouldn't work again for the rest of the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Like, that's the whole thing. And I get it, Lou. From a betting standpoint and from the Blues standpoint, definitely. They're going to need to move on. And you're right. There's a million calls in a game, and one call usually doesn't affect it. I totally understand your point there. But the lack of accountability with officials, it's gone too far now. The stakes are too high. I was on the L.A. Rams, man, but the stakes are too high not to call pass interference when there's two referees in front of someone when someone gets run over. These leagues that want to hold everyone accountable and suspend players like for 8 weeks for smoking weed turn around and piss on the competition level of this stuff. You know, at least get it right. Last night, the NBA couldn't get the scoreboard right. The Milwaukee Bucks had a free 2 points, and they said the same thing. They said, well, we didn't review it in time, so we can't change it. Yeah, but you know that they have two wrong points on the board. Yeah, but we can't change it. Like, it's just stupid. Like, I'm not just singling out the NHL here. Across the board, the officiating in the playoffs in the last year in every major sport has been piss poor.
Yeah, I will just say that you bring up really good points about making referees accountable. That where you're going with that. In the NFL, it's hard because they're not employees, but I think that can be fixed. Overall, however, I tend to agree that you have to make them accountable, but these referees doing these playoff games earn their way to do these playoff games. I'm sure they're not trying to make mistakes, but in the case of an egregious error like this, if there's guys looking at this thing and they just don't have the huevos to stand up and make the call, I do believe that the NHL should exercise some form of grading system to not allow them to, if they make egregious errors. Because, listen, the players got to be held to an account, a standard, the coaches, the league, so do the refs.
Exactly.
I think it's a great point you make there.
But the whole thing is, guys, what I don't understand is, and I've noticed this across sports, I'll give credit to the NFL guys, at least on this instance, that I don't know what, like in the old days, more often you'll see like a referee would make a call and then whatever, man, and the other ref would come over and talk for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And they'd overrule it. He'd go, listen, Jim, you got it wrong here. We got to, you know? And they'd say, all right, and they'd come out and they'd point the other way. They don't do that anymore. It's like they lawyer up. It's like, well, and they are like last night, the referees knew they were so wrong. They just skated off the ice.
I know.
That's another thing, too. They never explained anything to the Blues. Like, it's true. You know, it's just garbage. Like, they would refuse to face them and tell them what happened. But anyways, time has gone by with us bitching about hockey. Lou, what's a yes. couple of best bets? Right. What do you like for us? We only got a minute or two left here. What do you got, UFC Rochester?
In the UFC, look down below. A young kid named Mike Trezano gets to return. He's also a kind of a local because he's a New Yorker fighting in Rochester. And he's fighting this little farm kid from Nebraska named Dawson. Trezano's lined at minus 130, Dawson plus 110. Trezano is very serviceable everywhere, but not great anywhere, and Dawson's a world-class wrestler that is a future star. Dawson will win this fight as a short underdog. I also look at the fight I don't know where they are now that we've lost a couple fights and Magny's been replaced, but Megan Anderson's fighting a Canadian, Felicia Spencer. And you guys probably know more about Felicia Spencer than me, but she is a black belt in BJJ, great grappler, needs this fight on the floor, and Megan Anderson has to have this fight standing up. In fact, Holly Holm, of all people, took Megan Anderson down. If Holly Holm can take Megan Anderson down, even though Felicia Spencer's a real short little fire plug, I think she's going to get in close and wrestle Megan Anderson up. I look for Felicia Spencer, the Canadian, the local, to be a little bit live in Rochester, New York on Saturday night.
I like where you're going with that, Lou. Yeah, thanks, she's Lou. She's been kicking ass. Actually born in Montreal, but now nice. Trains in Orlando, Florida. LouGamblou.com. Follow him on Twitter. Check out his website for all more information and picks and analysis of the UFC. Dogs thank you, well. Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
New York Mets game yet this year.
Meet
I
the
see
Mets.
On July 5th. Yeah, meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Jerry Seinfeld and Keith Hernandez are taking a new step in their friendship. The two will reunite at Citi Field on July 5th for the New York Mets Seinfeld night. It's the 30th anniversary of the Seinfeld premiere. Man, it's crazy. Are you kidding me? 30 years.
30 years.
The Mets promotion will celebrate the 30th anniversary of the comedy show July 5th, 1989 premiere. The first 25,000 fans in attendance will get a Jerry Seinfeld bobblehead. And Hernandez played for the Mets for 7 years during his 17-year career and won the blah, blah, blah. All right. The legendary first baseman plays himself. Yeah, good episode. Good episode. It'd be cool if they had some other people there as well. But
true.
I've never been. That game. I am a big Seinfeld fan, so seems like the perfect combination, doesn't it?
Sounds great, Morenci. I told you, your episode with Twix was on last night when Jerry had to get Putty and Elaine back, and Kramer basically went as far as he could with the car on empty with the sales guy. Lots of fun last night. Twix! Yeah, where George went wild when the mechanic stole his bar, and then they ate all his samples. Great episode.
Yeah, some Seinfeld episodes, I've seen them all a million times. Some of them are kind of annoying, and you're like, yeah, this
yeah,
sucks.
They are. I agree. That was a good episode, though.
That one doesn't get old, though.
George went, he went nuts.
He sets up the candy bar lineup.
Oh, yeah, like that was the Buddy, best.
I like what Buddy tells him. George is like, I just took the last hour setting up a candy bar lineup. Buddy's like, took you an hour?
The best was they're all Twixes, too. It was a trick. Yeah.
I like the reverse, yeah, the humor there when Buddy tells him. Kramer tells the guy in the car, he goes, you want me to get you a Twix bar? And
exactly.
Buddy says to him, he goes, no, I hate coconut. He goes, all right, I'll get you a Mounds.
Yeah, exactly. Mounds and almond joy.
I'm a big fan of Mounds and Almond Joy. They're too small, Cam. You buy an Almond Joy, it's like two little pieces. Doesn't fill you up like a nice Snickers or something.
Surprises me, man. You're a guy that likes, you know, for you to like coconut in your chocolate, that's surprising to me. You just seem like a real just chocolate guy.
No, I like coconut in chocolate.
Really? Surprising, Reggie.